Hello and welcome once again, Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires we call the internets is Joe, Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
Fair to middling.
Well, we're recording on a Saturday, which
yeah.
First off, I had to get off work, come home, shove food in my pie hole, and get everything started.
Well, either that or shove pie in your food hole. But and me, I took a sick day because my rheumatoids flared up, and I'm like, I was talking the pre-show with Corey. You know, I got a set routine I go through. I shower, you know, I get dressed, I have a little caffeine, I walk around a bit, and if I can't get loosened up or get the pain to subside, I usually will take a sick day, and today was one of those days. And then you're like, oh, geez, you know, even if I get to work, should I? Will they give me trouble? Whatever. Screw it. I'm homesick. But I figured it can't be a totally non-productive day, so I figured I'd bug Corey and say, hey, let's do this here podcast.
Joe, this is episode. Let me double check. I believe this is episode 347. Episode.
Does that count when we do double episodes, or you divide an episode in two?
When I divide an episode in two, I do count them as separate episodes. But there are a couple special episodes we've had. Series in Review has been spun off into its own series, so it doesn't count. Solitaire Rose Radio and Solo Joe don't count. This is just how many episodes of Crazy Comics and Stories are there, and this is episode 346.
And I know there were a couple that we did A and B episodes, so it could be more. If somebody wants to go count for us, since, you know, we're basically lazy slobs, you know, we might have a special thing we could give them. Because, you know, I'm loaded with stuff to give away.
We just tied NCIS with the number of episodes.
Yeah, but we don't have a cute-looking girl in pigtails.
Yeah, she left the show, Joe.
No, she never had pigtails.
No, she left. Didn't she leave this season? I'm not old enough to watch NCIS, so I know there's a gothy girl on the show, but I heard that she left.
Yeah, no reason to watch anymore.
We have more episodes than CSI, more episodes than The Voice, more episodes than the British version of The Price is Right. I didn't even know there was a British version of The Price is Right. More episodes than Knots Landing. And we're coming up on The Danny Thomas Show, The Amazing Race, Blind Date, the British version of Blind Date, and Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, the primetime version. So we're getting up there. We're getting pretty soon. Here's my goal. I want to have more. You need to at least be able to podcast until we have 398 episodes. You know why?
Why?
That's how many episodes there were of ECW Hardcore TV from 1993 to 2000. We have to break that record. You are not impressed. Mm.
No, I'm not. I want Gunsmoke. I want to take Gunsmoke down.
Let's see how many episodes there were of Gunsmoke. Gunsmoke had 635 episodes.
Okay, when we get to Gunsmoke, then I'll be impressed. Okay. Of course, we'll still have to catch up with Simpsons, but they'll end eventually.
No, they won't. Simpsons will never
end.
That's
true. That's true. If Disney gets a hold of them.
Yeah. Simpsons. How many episodes of The Simpsons? 629 episodes of The Simpsons.
Hmm.
So there are more episodes of Gunsmoke than The Simpsons. Do you know why that is, Joe?
Are you counting the radio show?
No. Because it used to be that a TV series, each season was 39 episodes back in the 50s and 60s, which is why three seasons of Star Trek or three seasons of Gilligan's Island was enough for syndication, whereas now if you do three seasons of something, well, most TV shows are only 13 episodes now, so it's like, yeah, that's not enough for anything.
They only do at most maybe 13 episodes a season. Slackers! And that doesn't even count the mid-season break.
We don't get a mid-season break. We're here every Monday. Every Monday. Just like Raw. Just like WWE Raw, which bills itself as the longest-running episodic TV podcast. We are the longest-running episodic comic book podcast.
Ooh, I like that.
Now, there are other podcasts that have gone longer, but they're not episodic. They don't continue. They don't have long-running jokes.
No.
Did you ever read those issues of Amazing Spider-Man back in 2010?
I did something better.
You sold them.
I did. They were part of the purge at the Fall Con.
You never and did read them.
Therefore, I do not have them for MSP Comic Con 2018, May 19th and 20th, 2018, at the Minnesota State Fair Grandstand. And, of course, if you go to mcbacomiccons.com, you can see all the fun information, the dealer apps, the advanced tickets, the guests, the special exhibits, if you have any questions there. And I can also guarantee one thing, and I think, Corey, you'll be in agreement with me on this, that on May 19th and 20th, 2018, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday, Corey will be nowhere near the Minnesota State Fairgrounds or the grandstand.
No, I'll be at Art A Whirl.
A what?
Art A Whirl, which is this event they have in Minneapolis where a couple hundred artists open up their studios. And they actually have tours of all these different studios, and they have different places where you could go where artists have set up to sell their wares. They have bands, they have breweries, they have all this other stuff going on.
That's pretty weak.
I wasn't able to go in the past because I would go have to work the convention. Now, this is the
30th. Do you realize you are in serious jeopardy of losing your nerd cred because you're saying, I would rather go to a Cars Club than a comic book con?
I'd rather be punched repeatedly in the taint than go to a comic con.
No.
Going
you're losing your geek cred. I'm telling you. We'll get you to one. Maybe we'll go to one out of state sometime, and you know, have some fun.
No.
That's one thing I miss. None of our friends go to cons anymore. I don't know if you're just all getting to be old fucking farts or just crabby old bitches, but it's like it used to be. Hey, con's coming, let's go. And now it's like nobody goes, and I'm like, isn't that part of the fun? I love going, even if it's not to, you know, stand in 2-hour lines to see a guest, just to go dig through boxes and find things that I don't have. But nobody wants to do that anymore.
Because we can get it digitally.
Boring.
But I can read it there.
Maybe we'll run down to one of the ones in Iowa sometime and go see Adam when he's down there.
So this is the 30th anniversary, and SpringCon would be the actual 30th anniversary because for years it was FallCon, and they would have a one-day convention in the springtime. The first convention was in the spring of 1989.
Yeah. And I guess I've been to almost all of them except the ones when I was on the road.
The first one was at a VFW in Minneapolis, but I don't remember what VFW because we only had it there once and never went again.
I don't think it's there. I know. I'm pretty sure that Pat and I were there because I do remember being there, and I don't have my book of sketches because I can look back and see when it was dated because I remember Phil Folio was there and
it was mostly local guys. You had Reed Waller, Kate Worley, you had Gordon Purcell, you had Dan Jurgens.
I remember Pat and I were there, I think, as Weekend Warriors even.
Because I hung out most of the time there with Reed and Kate. We got along very well at that time. They were actually involved in starting the convention. They would go to the meetings back then. And they told me about a thing that they would do every so often to raise money if they were running low on funds. They would put an ad in the City Pages or the Twin City Reader or both saying that they, for $5, they would teach you how to potty train your cat. Not litter train your cat to use the toilet. And you would send them the $5, and they would send you this mimeograph sheet explaining that first, you know, you put the litter box on the toilet, and then you buy a smaller one, then you buy a smaller one, then you get one small enough that it fits inside the toilet, and then eventually you take it away, and you have taught the cat how to use the toilet.
Is that how far we've gone? We've gone from giving Corey a hard time because he doesn't go to Comic-Cons to talking about toilet training cats.
But it's that connected to really, the convention,
really
Joe.
Sad drop.
It's connected to the convention.
Yeah, I can tell Corey's an old fart. I remember the cons I used to go. We went to train cats to pee. That was good time there. You kids in your new fancy MSP Comic-Con 2018. When I my day, we had a real Comic-Con. Cat piss. That's what it was all about.
Well, that's also back when... There were a lot of comic shops I remember in Illinois or Iowa when I would drive, you know, when I first drove up here, I'd stop at comic shops and or things like that. And then there were comic shop cats. There were cats that would live in the comic shops. Why would somebody have a cat live in their comic shop, Joe?
To keep the mice from eating their books.
That's right. Now you pay exterminators, but back then.
Yep. Cats.
That was a weird thing because I hadn't even thought of it until, like, I was at this shop in, it had to be somewhere in the Quad Cities, probably Davenport, and he had a cat wandering around sleeping on the back issues, and I said, well, why do you have a cat here in the comic shop? And he said, well, it gets rid of the mice. And then there was a shop in Chicago, did the same thing. And I believe there was a small shop in Minneapolis that had one. But that was, you know, 32 years ago. I barely remember what comics came out 32 years ago. I'm lying. I remember every comic that came out 32 years ago. But you didn't have a cat in your shop. You didn't have any aminals in your shop, did you? You just had paintings of aminals.
I'm allergic to cats, so no cats.
Would you have had a...
Although I did offer to bring my... we had, I think... hamsters and gerbils at home that drove my wife nuts. And I said, well, I could bring them up to the shop. People think they're kind of fun, but nope, never happened.
How about a bunny? Would you have a bunny in your shop?
It depends. If it was a floppy-eared bunny that just sits around and doesn't do anything, as opposed to the bun I have now, who, you know, if he ain't running around doing stuff, he's going nuts. So it depends.
So there are different styles of bunnies. Some bunnies are very active, and some are just kind of want to sit around and watch TV.
It depends on if you castrate them or not.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
So you're saying if you're castrated, you watch a lot of TV. How much TV did you watch over the last week there, Joe?
I don't watch TV. You watch more than I do.
I watch TV when I'm at work anymore.
I spend time on eBay. Speaking of time, a couple news items came by. Did you see Black Panther cross the billion threshold?
Today. Just today.
Yeah. I was impressed with that.
I'm wondering how long it will take for there to be like 8 or 9 different black superhero movies coming out.
Yeah, Hollywood will get the wrong impression of that. They always take the wrong lesson from whatever happens. You know, I mean, a key is like the Marvel franchise. You know, they're all, well, we can do franchise. We could do a Universal Studio franchise.
We put the Universal Monsters on hold. So let's have all the Universal Monsters be black. I said, we'll bring back Blackula and Blackenstein. And we've got a new one, the Blummy.
We could also make black Transformers and black G.I. Joes and... have a Hasbro universe.
Well, weren't there were black G.I. Joes, weren't there?
Probably.
I don't know. I know The Rock was in the last G.I. Joe movie.
Yeah.
Eventually, The Rock will be in every movie. You do know that,
right? He will
be,
if he's not in it.
Because they're filming Shazam right now. And The Rock plays Black Adam.
Yeah, that should be interesting
to
see how he works out.
That's why he's not at WrestleMania.
And then, of course, there's sad news.
Uh-oh. Sad news, everyone. Sad news.
looks like Toys R Us is going to go away.
I thought that they were going to die years ago. When Walmart announced, what was it? Like almost 10 years ago, Walmart announced, we're going after the Toys R Us market. And Toys R Us basically went, please don't, please, for the love of God, leave us alone.
Well, see, the problem with Toys R Us is they got bought by, one of them hedge funds.
Oh, yeah, they're dead.
And so, yeah.
KB Toys?
Yeah, what these guys do, and it's much like what Ron Perlman did with Marvel, is they set up a shell corporation, and they funnel all their they saddle Toys R Us with debt by taking out massive loans to pay off, advisors. And the advisors happen to be in the shell corporation. So all this money that Toys R Us takes as a loan goes to pay these guys, the guys who bought the company. So they basically take out as much money as they can out of the company, saddle Toys R Us with like $5 billion in debt, and then eventually it just got to a point where they can't get out of it. The lenders are not willing to renegotiate like they have been. The $3 billion they got to keep themselves open over Christmas didn't work. And they're like, you know what? We're just going to liquidate. Now, remember, the guys who put all that debt into Toys R Us, they're fine. They get away free. What's even worse is because of a loophole, they do that because all the interest that get charged on these loans, they take off on their taxes. If you'd eliminate that particular tax hole loop, they wouldn't be able to do that. Take a company, make a shell company, you know, saddle the original company with debt and then walk away with all the money, you know. But, you know, that's how rich people, you know, run the world. So basically, and the sad thing about it is the people who get hurt, you know, I don't know if there are any full-time Toys R Us people that have been working there for years. They'll lose. They won't get their pensions. They won't get nothing. They'll lose their jobs. The toy companies are going to suck. Matter of fact, their stock's been going down because, you know, I don't even know who's left. Mattel?
Hasbro.
You know, there's been such a consolidation. I don't even know who's who anymore. The other thing is that all the small toy companies that, you know, most of the time you'd only see them in comic book shops, they won't be able to exist. There aren't enough comic shops around. They're closing like crazy too. So, and the other thing too is when you go to Target and Walmart, they're boring for toys. If it ain't a big line, they're boring. Their stock is 99% been picked over by insiders, you know, and I used to be one. I mean, I used to have guys call me and say, hey, we just got our new Star Wars in, come and pick out the best one. Or it's just going down for toys. And it's sad, too, because you and I pointed out there was like a golden age of toys about a decade ago where anything and everything was a toy. You could get almost anything you wanted. It's kind of sad in a way. But, you know, as long as the rich get rich, toys get shoveled away.
I was going to say, with Toys R Us going away, McFarlane Toys, you don't see McFarlane Toys at Walmart or Kmart or Target.
I don't even know if he's doing the sports line anymore.
Well, let's take a look, because it was Box Day this week.
It was.
Let me grab. Box. I haven't. Box Day was yesterday, actually.
I got mine on Friday. Yeah,
and
it showed up on Thursday, but I didn't get to open it Friday.
I didn't even get mine till Friday. So I'm looking to see. Well, I don't even see the McFarlane toy line in the image portion of.
They come and go. They had some stuff last week. But I don't think they have anything this week, or month, I should say.
Yeah, so, I don't. There's a whole bunch of stuff at the back of previews. But more and more, that stuff I see in places like, what is that place at the Mall of America? Lunchbox, which has different pop culture media things. Hot Topic. But, you know, Toys R Us had, you know, Lincoln Logs. You know, they carried every toy line. And you would go there if you were looking for stuff that wasn't, you know, the Target, where it's, okay, here's this, here's this, here's this, here's your five rows of toys, and that's it.
Do you remember ever shopping at Children's Palace?
No, that was during a time period when I didn't have to buy toys.
See, that was a real interesting story because they went the way about the same time Toys R Us showed up. And what's interesting about Children's Palace is that they were kind of like, if you remember KB Toys, you used to walk in there and you'd see all these old toy lines, and maybe toy lines you never even heard of. And they always had them like, you know, 3 for $10. You know, we had the Witchblade toys that were done by Moore Creations, and they were beautifully sculpted toys. They were almost plastic sculptures,
Dan
really.
Dan Moore made toys?
He made a lot of things, not just hand puppets.
Oh, okay.
But the weird thing was I had them in the shop, and we sold boatloads of them, and then it was like the remainder line went to KB Toys. So there were always toys being liquidated. They had new toys as well, but, you know, there were times I'd go in there and I'd see, holy cow, they got these Lady Death toys. I'm still selling them at full price in my shop. Children's Palace, I think, went through the same phase where they were just buying out things. Because I remember buying the Mighty Crusader toys there.
Oh, wow.
No idea.
Who didn't even know they made Mighty Crusader toys.
It was amazing. Just all these old toys. Now, this was the early 80s. I'm not sure when Children's Palace went away. I think it went away. Because that was during the 80s, definitely. Because I'd be buying toys, not only for myself, but also to resell and things like that. You'd go in, you'd find old Star Wars toys. Nothing valuable, but, you know, Return of the Jedi toys that they'd slap, like, you know, $2 on because they used to retail, like, for $5 or something. And all these different toy lines, things you never heard of. I remember just spending hours going up and down the line. They actually had a time when the Star Trek Playmates line came out. And if you remember, the first line was, I think it was the Troy action figure, was, you know what, I say that back. I think it was, my memory's losing. It was either Princess Leia in Star Wars or Troy in the Star Trek line, because they always short-packed the women. So it's like anytime you went, and they even do that in the Black Panther. If you went to the Black Panther, saw the toy line, there was only one of the female. What was Shuri? I can't remember her name. And you got 11 Black Panther, you got one Shuri figure. And, you know, part of me was like, I should buy that because that's probably going to be the one that everybody's going to want. But with eBay now, if you want one, you could probably get one cheaper than they sold them at Target. So I didn't bother picking them up. And, of course, now you can't find it. But anyways, the line was short packs. The Troy figure was going for like 30, 40, maybe $50. And then walked into Children's Palace, and here was an entire wall of Troy figures. They just called and said, hey, give us this one. If you recall the Toy Biz line, same thing. They were a little more liberal with the female figures, but you remember the one that everybody went nuts at that Brian bought and brought to the con? And it was the only thing he brought to one of the fall cons? I think it was it Rogue?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's all he had. He had like 200, 300 Rogue figures that somehow he called Toy Biz and finagled them. And, oh, people went ballistic. I mean, they were like, oh, my God, I got to buy these. And retailers were running around. Can I buy 20 from you? And he was like, ah, when the show's over, I'll wholesale some out. And by the end
they
of the first day,
they were all gone.
And what I did is I split the table with the guy next to me, and I expanded my stuff out. And, you know, I was able to buy a bunch for my shop, and the deal was Brian said, okay, you cannot bring them to the show. You can't put them out till after I'm done. I said, no problem. So I already had mine put away. But that's the way it was then, you know. And it was fun because hunting toys meant something because you could go to comic shops. There was a shop, a little shop on the somewhere in the Minneapolis area, all he had was Star Wars figures. I think it might have been the original Toyrific before. I don't know if the guy up in Duluth is part of that or maybe the same guy. Last I heard is he went out to California. Because we had the same problem in Minneapolis everywhere. You know, I would buy a toy for $20. I'd buy a Star Wars toys for like $10 from you, sell it for $20. Well, these guys were buying them for $20, sending them to the guy on the East Coast and selling them for $50 because we were like a depressed market. We always had that mentality here, you know, well, the guide says it's $10. I can't pay more than guide. It's like, well, you realize the guide is telling you what it's sold for, not what it's selling for. You know, and nowadays you, with online things, and this is something, you know, I talk about eBay wise. I have comic book A. Well, guide says it's $2. So I might go online and discover, oh my God, it's selling for $50. That just happened recently. The first appearance of the Red Goblin is going crazy online. And if you just were to go with the price guide, it's like, oh, it's cover price. No, it isn't. And in fact, I don't even know what it's going for. It could be going for more. It could be going for less. I did see second prints at some of the shops, but there are no first prints around. So you always got to be careful. Toy hunting just isn't as much fun as it used to be, you know, because it's just the stores don't have them. There are a few comic stores where we have Hot Comics in town. Source carries some. And we got some Nostalgia Zone. Well, Nostalgia Zone carries them, but, you know, Nostalgia shops, like Nostalgia Zone, Mr. Zero's, things like that. But boy, Toy Geekin', when I was in the 80s and 90s and even into having Hot Comics, it was like an all-day event. There's a reason why I got gas. I come back with a truckload of stuff, pay for that gas.
Well, when you got your box.
Yay.
Have you looked through anything yet?
I'll talk about the comics when we get to Freaking. But I did... I didn't actually read much. I did go through my previews.
I have not gone through previews yet.
Okay, maybe we'll save that for next week. I will tell you, with previews this month, what was I bitching about last month?
Too damn many comics?
Graphic novels. Just tons of graphic novels. This time around, I was like, there's nothing here. I may go back and see if I can't get some of the things that I didn't buy last month and put them on the order for this month. Well, it was just crazy.
Let me take a look here. There is the Final Crisis Omnibus that you said, oh, seems like they're getting ready to do a Final Crisis Omnibus. Well, guess what they are?
Yeah, and I think that's
1,504 pages.
And, you know, it's like when I buy things like this, I'm always... I put a question mark on it because sometimes I got to make a cut because I don't have unlimited funds at the moment. And Final Crisis Omnibus is definitely on the list. But over on the Marvel side, I have no graphic novels on the Marvel side that I'm buying. Hellboy Omnibus from Dark Horse. Infinite Loop Volume 2 from IDW. And then there's a bunch of other stuff in the other things that I'm real interested in, but I'll probably end up getting because, boy, there's just not a lot that I ordered this month. And some of it, too, we're just starting to get into the Marvel revamp stuff, you know, so I do have Avengers 1 down.
I do see that I saw this when I was looking through the Dark Horse stuff online. Creepy Archives are back.
Yeah.
So they picked that back up. Number 26, they'll be reprinting the magazine 123 to 127. The last one of those came out in December of 2016, so they took 2017 off. I now have all but, I have all of them ordered. I'm just now waiting for DCB service to send me the last two that I've ordered that are in the teens, but I have all of the Creepy and all of the Eerie Archives. I'll go through what I got in my box because it's kind of pretty cool. And it may even be out by the time this podcast is out. I'm going to be doing an unboxing video where I take out each of the books I got for Box Day and talk about them and do it as a video special. It'll not be on the podcast feed. You will have to go over to the YouTubes to see it because I made a couple of people emailed me about it, and then I asked on the Facebooks, and a lot of people said, do it, do it, do it. So even a couple comic professionals said, do it, do it, do it. Which I thought was kind of weird, because wouldn't they know about comics, but still. Let's see. I got the new Alter Ego, number 151. The new issue of Back Issue. Best Wishes graphic novel. That's the one written by Mike Richardson and drawn by Paul Chadwick, who does Concrete. New issue of Carlton Arrow, which has a new E-Man story and stuff like that. New comic book creator, which actually goes into the Crusaders. I don't know a lot about the Crusaders. When we were at, what is that shop way down South Minneapolis? That was like a guy just put his comic book collection up for sale.
Issues Needed.
Yeah. That was the most issues of the Red Circle stuff I'd seen ever. And Red Circle in the early 80s was Archie's attempt to revamp their superhero line in comic shops. Which is why when you said Mighty Crusaders stuff, it's like, oh, wow. They actually did kind of a push for those. I remember I picked up the two issues of The Comet, which were drawn by Carmine Infantino, because they got a good review in the Comic Buyer's Guide. But I actually now just want to gather up the rest of that kind of very short-lived attempt to bring those books back. I want to dig, pretty much get the whole thing and see, just read them. I got the Crime Does Not Pay Archives 3 and 5, which were the last two that I needed. I now have all 10 of the Crime Does Not Pay Archives. Because number 11, they never printed because they didn't get enough orders. New Doc Savage novel, Doc Savage Wild Adventures, The Forgotten Realm, which was written by Will Murray based on some notes left over by the original writer Lester Dent back in the 40s. Knights of the Dinner
Arthur
Table.
Dent? From Hitchhiker's Guide?
No, Lester Dent.
Oh, must be his brother.
Except Joe, every Doc Savage book has a was credited to a fake name or a house name. Do you know, does Joe know, the official writer of the Doc Savage novels?
I never read one, so I wouldn't know.
Kenneth Robeson.
Oh, from the cough medicine fortune.
Moving on.
No, that's Robitussin. Sorry.
Life and Legend of Wallace Wood, Volume 2. Volume 1 came out about a year and a half ago. This is a book that Bob Stewart was working on when he passed away, which has essays and very rare art by Wally Wood, including stuff he did for Wacky Packages and other Tops. Basically, a lot of the stuff that he did that wasn't for comics. There is a I did open this one up because it has an essay about the Disneyland orgy poster he did. And it's a nice long essay about how Wally Wood would copy other people's styles and how when he did the Disney poster for a magazine called The Realist, they got in a lot of trouble because Wally Wood had copied the Disney style so well, it looked like an official Disney poster of all the Disney characters having sex.
Ugh.
And then two Wally Wood books, Shattuck, which was a comic strip he did, a Western comic strip he did. Most of it was drawn by Howard Chaykin, and it's one of Howard Chaykin's earliest works. And it's very rare, had never been reprinted before this book, and Wally Wood's Canon. Finally got my copy. They did a new printing of it. And I just flipped through it, and in the back, I guess Wally Wood did two issues of a comic book that was sold through the undergrounds, adapting canon into a comic book. Joe, does Joe know? Because Joe has the book.
But Joe hasn't read it yet, so I probably don't.
Who drew the comic book version of canon?
I knew a while back because I was trying to decide if I was going to buy it or not, but I decided not to.
Steve Ditko.
Who? Never heard of him.
Maybe the only time that Ditko and Wally Wood worked together. So that's a lot of what I got. And if you go over to the YouTubes, there'll be a video up of me talking about this stuff in more detail and holding it up in front of my face.
Or as I call it, Corey's Christmas Day. So for me, I ended up, I haven't read any of these things yet, but I did pick up, I got Aquaman by Peter David, book one. Because as you know, Peter David's one of the rare writers that I, he could write the phone book and I'd enjoy it. And I do remember reading these when they first came out and enjoying them immensely. So I'm looking forward to that. I got me Batman the Golden Age Volume 4, which means I probably have 1 through 3 around somewhere. And we'll figure out how I'm going to figure out where those books are when we get to geeking. I picked up Avengers Academy, the Complete Collection Volume 1, because I only read that book on and off through the whole run. It wasn't anything that I read, although I heard I would enjoy it.
I liked it, and in that book, Dan Slott was the writer. He actually put in a thing that explained the Peter Parker giving away his secret identity without it having to be a hand-waving Doctor Strange thing.
Yeah, but that went away too. So
yeah, nobody... that went away, but they could have just gone with that explanation, and it would have been fine.
I got me back issue 103. You know, I used to buy Alter Ego all the time, but I found I didn't enjoy it as much as I do back issue. So I think back issue covers comics that I read as a kid, and they get me feeling nostalgia for that.
Yeah, they're Bronze Age, whereas Alter Ego is Golden and Silver Age.
Yeah, and now while I find it interesting, I just, you know, again, I'm on kind of a budget for comics for the moment. And if I keep doing what I'm doing with my debt, in a couple of years I won't be, and then you're going to see a new segment of the show, Cray Unleashed. I just buy whatever I want and F the world. I picked up from Rebellion, The Beatles Story by Agnes Allen and Arthur Ransom. And it's a Treasury of British Comics. I'm not sure if it's original or reprint, because, again, I don't have the information here. But it's basically magazine size, a little bigger than magazine size. So I'm looking forward to that. I picked up Best Wishes from Mike Richardson and Paul Chadwick.
I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, it came out from Dark Horse. Very shocking, huh?
Paul Chadwick did Concrete.
Never heard of him.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was Asphalt. When two strangers cast coins into Central Park Fountain, their dreams and desires become miraculously intertwined. Carl wants fame and respect, and Mary craves true love from her pro quarterback boyfriend, but destiny weaves a tangled fabric. Sometimes your dreams come true, but not for you. That's what we say to Corey all the time. Not for you.
Yeah, pretty much.
I picked up the hardcover, American Gods, as I said I would. And, of course, if you don't know what American Gods are, you're obviously not a Neil Gaiman fan. But it's based on the award-winning novel and has art by P. Craig Russell, Scott Hampton, Walter Simonson, Colleen Doran, Glenn Fabry. And it's in a hardcover because I have a feeling this will be one, like the book, I will read over and over again. And more importantly, I finally got something which will allow me to take care of half my collection on the eBays. I got the 2017-2018 Overstreet Comic Book Price Guide, 47th edition. If you ever buy the price guide, I recommend getting it in hardcover because, first of all, it's a much sturdier format. Second of all, it's only $5 more than the softcover version, which is really weird. And third, if you talk about collectability, the hardcovers tend to stay up in value more than the softcovers. At least that was true when I first started buying them way back in the 80s. If you really want to get a rare one, go over to Heroes Initiative on the eBay site, and you can buy their one of only 500 made covers, because those is a little bit more expensive, but you know, those will, I've seen those go up in price really fast. But I need it because I've got a lot of, well, mostly Bronze Age, some Silver Age that I don't know what to price, and what I'll be doing is pricing them and putting them on the eBays. So if you're, you know, if you don't have any, yeah, it's a little early to be gawking, talking eBay, But I was excited to finally get this because the one I have is 2 years old. And, you know, with I always talk about, like, with the newer comics, I always check on eBay to see if the price went up or down. With the eBays and the older books, I pretty much go with the comic book guide, in this case, the Overstreet. I'll make exceptions like First Chimera was what? Strange Tales 180? 179, 180?
179 or 180, one of the two of those.
Well, that one, the guide obviously isn't keeping pace. So, and same thing, if you got a Black Panther to either number one or the Fantastic Four he appeared in, was it 52? Jeez, I think it was just a week ago we were talking about this. You know, I would check on the eBays to see what they're hovering about. And there's some other spots online too, but I tend to just go with eBay because it still seems where a lot of the comic book action is happening. That was it. I was a little, you know, no omnibus, no big collections other than the Academy and the Batman. So, but I got a ton of comics, and I'll talk about the ones I read when we get further on in the show.
Usually, one of the things that happens to me is that the omnibuses that you want show up the week after, after the. They do the end of the month shipment, but no, not this time. There aren't any omnibuses that have come out that I'm jumping on. Although Swords of the Swashbucklers came out.
Oh, that would be fun. I remember that from the Epic series.
And I guess there's going to be a new series.
Yeah, I saw that. That's Dynamite, isn't it?
Yep.
Yep. I did get my Marvel Comics Digest 5.
Yes, the Black
Avengers
Panther, supposedly.
Avengers featuring the Black Panther.
And, boy, there aren't a lot of Black Panther stories in there.
Yeah, I was like, whatever.
I'm flipping through. It's like, oh, okay, a couple of Kirby stories. Here's the first appearance of the Vision. Okay, Black Panther kind of is in that. And okay, now here are the Marvel Adventure stuff, and there's some Black Panther in that, but not a lot. And I think a lot of it is because while Black Panther was in the Avengers, he didn't really do a lot. That was back when, he's in the Avengers. What's he do? Well, he's kind of, you know, there. Kind of like Hawkeye in the 60s. After Thor and Iron Man came back, Hawkeye was just kind of there to the point where Roy Thomas went, oh, crap, he's faded into the background so much. Well, let's make him Giant Man. Hawkeye can be Giant Man now. And that didn't work.
Say, Corey, you don't have to have a spare $60 in your pocket, do you?
Why?
Because you could get all 15 of the Avenger variant covers that Entertainment Weekly has out.
No.
There's one for every
Avengers
hero.
Avengers number one?
This is for the movie.
Oh.
The Entertainment Weekly, remember. There's collector covers. 4 out of 15. And, of course, I'm not reading this because I don't want anything. Entertainment Weekly has a way of, like, spilling things that you don't want spilled. You know, kind of like when you're reading the Star Wars. Luke, meanwhile, throws away his lightsaber. Oh, come on! That was the opening joke. I just don't want to be told that. So I'm not reading mine. I did get the Hulk cover. Looking at the cover, I think I'd rather have the Doctor Strange cover. So if you have an extra $60 and you got a lot of time, go hit the newsstand and try to get all 60 of them. Or you could go to backissues.ew.com and just order a set. Nah, I don't think I'll be doing that. Although I do have somewhere in my vast accumulation of crap is I remember when TV Guide used to have the
TV Guide tried the collectible covers. We all saw how well that worked for them
with the WCW and WWF and things like that. And so I have those downstairs. Every so often I run across. Hey, look, there's Sting and Hogan and NWO gear. You know.
Well, and they've announced everybody who's going to be in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Spider Baby?
No. Goldberg, though.
Goldberg.
Wonder if that means Goldberg's getting in. It's Goldberg, the Dusty Boy, the Dudley Boys, Ivory, Hillbilly Jim. Now, Joe, I wasn't watching wrestling when Hillbilly Jim was kind of big. I didn't start watching till the early 90s. So what was the deal with Hillbilly Jim? Because I go back, he only had one WrestleMania.
Boy, a country boy. He was just a well-known, well-liked person, I think, that hung around. I don't know.
Was he? Because I know he was in the cartoon. He's the last person from the cartoon to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, by the way. But he was only at the one WrestleMania where he had the joke match where he had a bunch of midgets and King Kong Bundy had a bunch of midgets. And I fast-forwarded through that because, midget wrestling's kind of annoying.
I don't know. In WCW...
Was he a big deal? Was he a big deal in the WWF?
I don't know about the WWF. I think in WWF he was, just because he was a character. But... You know, that was back in the cartoony days, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like when he showed up, he was like, yay, he's a good guy. Okay. Midget wrestling, though, in AWA days, they were actually a lot of fun. Because they were just... I can't even describe the mayhem. They moved so fast. The poor referee was more part of the action. Like, he would get down to astonish one of the midget wrestlers. And back then, you could call him midget, so no... Don't get upset about it. And another one would come up from behind and, you know, do the old, I'm going to kneel down. And then when he stood up, they would push him over. So he would fall, flop over on his stomach. And then another midget wrestler would, you know, he'd be crisscrossing the ring, jump on the referee's back and go into his opponent. And then, of course, the ref would get up and be just upstanding. What are you doing to me? You know, just amazing. It's just fun stuff. And they kind of lost something when house shows kind of went away. But they were an attraction. They were like when Andre came to town. You went because, oh, cool, Andre's here. Ah, the old AWA days.
Now, we really don't have a whole lot left. I haven't had a chance to read anything from Box Day. About the only thing I have read.
Or the invoice.
No, I don't look at the invoice till I actually sit down with stuff. I mean, I got home, brought the box in, opened it up, had to go to work, was at work. You messaged me while I was at work. I got home, ate a peanut butter sandwich and a slice of apple pie, because, you know, you have to have pie, and you got on this here podcast. Although, I slept at the group home every night this week. There were two nights I wasn't scheduled to. Both nights, they emailed me and asked if I would come in.
And we all know what a sucker you are for that.
Hey, you're going to pay me to sleep? It's to the point where if I'm at home and I don't sleep at the group home, I don't want to go to sleep because it's like, why would I want to sleep if I'm not getting paid for it? It's a waste of sleeping. But I've been reading a image series that just wrapped up last year by Tim Seeley and Mike Norton called Revival. It is a zombie story, but not a typical zombie story. It is set in a small town in Wisconsin where on one day, everybody who had died came back to life and is now hanging around.
When was this done?
It started in 2012. It ended last year.
Because it sounds like something Neil Gaiman did on Babylon 5.
Well, the CDC came in and has quarantined the town. And the lead character is one of the cops in town who's been put in charge of the task force to kind of keep an eye on these zombies. But the thing is, they don't, you know, they're not Romero zombies. Matter of fact, there are a few people who came back to life who people didn't know had died. But the zombies can't be killed. You know, they can take any amount of personal damage and the next day they're fine. But normal people still die. It was just that one day. So I'm about 6 issues in. I'm really enjoying it. And Mike Norton's art is amazing. His stuff is really good. And I like the fact that they're taking... That it really feels like, all right... We're going to play with this trope, but we're going to do it differently from everybody else. Because now we're at the point of the zombie zombie as our favorite monsters. You know, we go through phases where we have favorite monsters. You know, we have vampires. We have, you know, the killers like Jason and Freddy and stuff like that. Now we're in the zombie phase. And people say, oh, all zombie stories are the same. I like the fact that people are using this idea and playing with it and twisting it and changing it and doing stuff with it. And Revival, it's all available in trade paperbacks. I'm really enjoying it. I picked it up off Comicsology and I'm reading it off my tablet before I go to sleep at night. Maybe that's why I'm dreaming about... Oh, never mind.
Never mind.
Joe, have you been reading anything? Are you the type of person who needs to read before you go to sleep?
I either read or lately we've just been watching Hogan's Heroes reruns. It's kind of like if I stay up, we'll watch. If we watch West Wing or some other drama, that always keeps me going. But it's like if I read or watch just a mindless half-hour sitcom, that's like my body's signal for my body. Like, okay, shut down. Time to go to bed. But I don't read a lot. Because usually it's like I said, we'll watch a sitcom, and sometimes I'll look over and I'm halfway through it, and it's like, oh, Chris is already asleep. Oh, well, I'll finish it off and turn everything off.
Now, some people, I remember for years when Letterman was on, that's what I would watch. You know, get into bed, watch the monologue, the comedy bit at the table, and if the first guest was interesting, I'd watch along with that. But it's weird how everybody has their sort of this is what I do to get ready for bed rituals. And anymore, mine is
pretty much
just,
it is.
Because I'm at the group home so much, it's I read off the. I do my Dutch lesson. I write the three things that I am happy about that day, and then I read funny books. And for the longest time, I was reading the Marvel magazines because I had those on my tablet. But I've read them all. They're gone. They're over.
You can always reread them.
Actually, I could read Epic Magazine.
I almost have a full collection of that. I have to figure out which issues I'm missing.
Marvel thought that was going to be the next big thing. Do you remember Stan hyping that for almost a year before it came out? In the bullpen bulletin page?
Yeah.
Ah! Does Joe know... Our third one. Will Joe ever get a shiny new dime? What was the initial name of Epic Magazine going to be?
The Power of Strode, a collection in pies.
No.
Okay, I don't know.
Odyssey. And then, like about 3 months before the first issue, they found out that there was another magazine called Odyssey. It's like, oh, crap! What that was, after Archie Goodwin stepped down as editor-in-chief, he and Stan were looking around because they didn't want him to go anywhere else because he's one of the most successful editors, even back then. So they put together Epic Magazine for him, and that led into the Epic Comics line.
Do you know how many Epic Illustrated magazines there were?
34.
And do you know what the price is for that last one?
Oh, probably a fortune.
$54, which is a lot.
Yeah.
Considering number one in Mint allegedly is $73, although you can find them for like $5-6.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, most people don't look at them as collectibles. It's like heavy metal. You know, you go to most places where they sell magazines, old magazines and stuff, if they've got old issues of heavy metal, you can usually get them $2-3 a pop. The Marvel magazines, for some reason, they seem to know those are worth money. But Epic Magazine and Heavy Metal and even some of the science fiction magazines, they're just, we just want to get rid of them. I can't tell you how many issues of Analog and Asimov Science Fiction Magazine and Fantasy and Science Fiction I've bought at used bookstores for like 50 cents a pop.
Oh, yeah.
Then you just, you know, you read all the short stories and take them in, sell them again. Oh, we'll give you a quarter for them. Oh, cool, because you're going to sell them for 50 cents.
Yeah.
But Joe, final, what does Joe know? Something Marvel puts out now uses the same font as Epic Magazine. What is that?
Oh, that's the cease and desist orders they give you and me for trying to crash their place.
Nope. If you buy one of the Epic collections, which took the place of the Essentials, if you look on the back, they use that Epic E on them that they used as the symbol for the Epic comic line and Epic magazine. They're still using that for the, and now they're using it for their trade paperback runs.
Recycling at its finest.
I think that's fascinating because it's okay. We don't want to lose the copyright on this, but, okay. Here's how we'll keep it.
Good idea. Never last.
You know who doesn't have to worry about their copyright, Joe?
I don't know who.
These guys, our sponsors.
Oh, was there the whole time.
That's right. Here at the Solitaire Rose Radio Network, we have ads. And our first sponsor is me. That's right. Your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. I have my first book out with Dangerous Dan Moore. It's the first 100 strips of our online web strip, Worldwide News, the story of the lowest-rated cable news network. And you can get yourself a copy with commentary, with all sorts of extras, with signatures and everything. Just email Dan over at lordshadowflame@gmail.com. Our top sponsor, who's been with us since day one, is DreamHost. DreamHost.com. You need yourself a website, and DreamHost.com is the number one web host in the whole known universe. Just head over to DreamHost.com, put in the code CRAZY, K-R-A-Y-Z, get $20 off your first year. How can you beat that? Our other sponsor is Graze, G-R-A-Z-E.com. Healthy snacks for a healthy lifestyle. Just head over to Graze, put in the code CORYS3R5P. Your first and fifth box are free. You can get them weekly. You can get them bi-weekly. You can get them monthly. You just order a whole bunch of them. It's great stuff to keep you away from the vending machine at work. Now, if you would like to leave a comment for any of the podcasts that we do, we'd love those. Go ahead and email us at solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com, or you can call 952-856-0519. Operators are standing by. Okay, it's just a place that we'll record your calls, but we'll play them on the air. We'll answer your questions. We love getting feedback. Tell us what you think. Ask a question. Suggest a topic. Be a guest. Send us your stuff. SolitaireRoseNetwork@gmail.com. If you would like to advertise on any of the Solitaire Rose radio shows, you can. Just email us at SolitaireRoseNetwork@gmail.com. Subject, advertising. Thanks. And rather than me rattling off all the stuff for the Solitaire Rose Network, instead, I have a drop for it now.
Ooh.
And here it is. The Solitaire Rose Radio Network has all sorts of podcasts. We've got Scrabbling Across the West with Dave Cafell and his lovely bride, Stephanie. They travel across the country playing musical gigs, and at night they sit down to play Scrabble and talk about their day at scrabbling.solitairerose.com. There's Novelcast over at novels.solitairerose.com, where I take the novels that I've written and turn them into audio podcasts. Currently, we are doing a novel called Do the Job, which is a murder mystery set in the world of 1980s professional wrestling. Then over at badadvice.solitairerose.com, me, Corey Strode, and Wolfie B. Bad, along with Dan Moore, give bad advice to people who send in questions. That's bad advice over at badadvice.solitairerose.com. The Solitaire Rose Radio Network is growing. Be there! You think NBC will get mad I used that? See how easy that is? I like doing drops. Drops
yes.
Make it easy.
Drops are fun.
And we don't have a drop for this, so now we ask Joe the important question of the day. Joe, how many Hummel figurines do you own?
25.
Oh, wait, no. I'm supposed to ask what's going on the eBays. What's going on the eBays?
Well, still putting stuff up, really. Going through a lot of sets. I said earlier I got my 47th edition of the Overstreet Price Guide, so I can now tackle some of the bronze and Silver Age I have lying around. And most of it's bronze. Most of Silver Age I got up already. So I'll be able to do that. And, just kind of chugging away at that. The only couple things that have sold since we last talked is I sold a Wesley Snipes autographed 8x10 color photograph that had a certificate of authenticity. And I sold that on behalf of the charity booth that my daughters and I run at the MSP Comic-Con 2018 coming up. I was shilling for it last week. If you got something you'd like to donate, get a hold of me either through the email that Corey dropped or contact me direct, crazycomics@gmail.com. Just went crazy on that. I sold a variant cover of Irredeemable. Irredeemable was a comic started 2009 through Boom. And it was Mark Waid writing. Pete Krause, a friend of the show, did a lot of the art. And it's a book I recommend. It basically, the gist of it is their Superman-type character goes, is that enough? He's running the Earth now. And, of course, there's a few heroes that are going up against them. I've never read it. I think I have all the issues together. And then what I've been doing is when I started purging things, I got rid of the ones that didn't have value and a few of the variants I threw on eBay. So there might be a few left. And Corey, funny, he asked me earlier about the Spider-Man I never read. And, of course, one of the reasons I didn't read him is because after one more day, they just turned Parker into an asshole. He just wasn't fun to read. And it took a while for him to settle down and get to be back to the Peter Parker I knew and loved. But I did sell my last set of One More Day, which is Amazing Spider-Man 544, 545, Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man 41, and Sensational Spider-Man 24. And I just got to the point where it's like, you know what? If I want this, I can go to Marvel Unlimited. I buy a graphic novel. It's just one of the dumber stories they did. We'll come back to it in a little bit. But if you're interested in anything, since I'm off sick, once we're done podcasting, I'll probably have oodles of stuff up. So just K-R-A-Y-Z on the eBays. Let me know. Yes, if you see something, I might give you a good deal on it. Certainly not like the one Bobo who just contacted me. I got a book up for $50, and he says, will you take 99 cents? Yeah, be reasonable, folks. Might give it to you. I might give you shipping. It was. And you'll see how fast I ignore it, too. But if you are legit, maybe I'll send it to you for free. Maybe I'll give you something out of the remainder of my vast accumulation of stuff. Or maybe I'll give you something extra special. You just never know. So check it out.
Speaking of lowballing, Scott Kobosh, who's drawing a Deadpool, He put up the cover for Deadpool 300, where he drew 300 different versions of Deadpool on the cover. I offered him $20. He said, that's a little low. I said, all right, fine, 21.
Well, at least you're negotiating.
Yes. Hey, you never know unless you ask.
That is true. And I probably have surprised a few people when they lowball me and they go, holy crap, he set my offer. Because really, you never know. I know what I paid for it. I know how long it's been in my collection. And I know how badly I want it. The fact that it's on eBay means I probably don't want it. Because if I did want it, it would be like this beautiful stack of graphic novels I have right here. Or as I call it, distractions from eBay. Avengers Academy Volume 1, You Shall Be Read. Oh, I'm sorry, what?
The Precious.
My Precious. And of course, I got my man thing ever close by. It's not giant size, but it is Omni.
You keep saying that I need to get my man thing looked at, so I think I might be sending that in to the comic graders people.
Not the man thing. I'm worried about the glob on the end of it.
No, it's fighting the glob.
Well, yeah, if you don't get the proper penicillin, you'll be fighting it forever. Good night, everybody.
And now we get to my favorite part of the show, where I discuss my love of Yankee candles. No, it's freaking and geeking. Joe, what are you freaking on?
I do kind of like that, because my wife's got some that like make noises, little poppy, fire noises.
The one I have by me is balsam and cedar scented.
Mine's White
Castle. So when I set it on fire, it's like the forest is burning down.
Now, I'll just have you know.
Maybe that'll cause the squirrels and raccoons that dig in the garbage to run away.
I'll just have you know.
Fire! The woods are on fire! Ah!
And I are podcasting. Meanwhile, over on our Crazy Comics and Story podcast page, I shared a memory of Corey in his prime.
Uh-oh.
To which Mozique Chong asked, does the love of Vest have an origin story? So let's make that an Ask the Strode. Corey, does the love of Vest have an origin story?
It does.
Let's hear it. Isn't my freaking, by the way, but go ahead.
Back about, 93, 94, I was invited to a wedding. And it was a big Catholic wedding. And the people involved, it was co-workers I had at the group home. And the co-worker was one of those people who didn't really have to work at a job where he was only being paid $9 an hour because his family had a lot of money. A lot of money.
How much money?
More than I will ever have. The St. Paul, what is the big St. Paul Catholic Church?
The cathedral.
That's where they got married. On a Saturday afternoon, so you know that ain't cheap. So I went to one of the department stores and was looking for clothes. And this was before I was the best dressed man in comics, by the way. I was just lost. I was utterly befuddled and lost because, let's face it, Joe, you remember me in the early 90s. I basically looked like I should be in the audience at a Nirvana concert all the time.
That's being kind.
So I asked if I should, I asked one of the people there, help me. I don't know what to buy. I'm utterly lost. And they, you tell a clerk at a high-end clothing store that, and they're just giddy because you are a sale. So I was doing okay money-wise. And we picked out like three outfits, and all three of the outfits had a vest. And they were like, oh, when you need a blazer or a jacket with that. And I said, no, I'll just go with the vest. Because you've seen Star Wars. You know what Han Solo wore. It was like, oh, cool. I'm all dressed up, but I'm wearing a vest, so I kind of am like a Han Solo. Cool. And people who had never seen me dressed up were like, you look really cool. And the vest is, so I, at my full-time job, it was a business formal you had to wear. So rather than wearing the blazer or the jacket, I would wear the vest because you could get away with that. And I just, it came to the point where I just enjoyed wearing a vest. So when I am wearing a dress shirt, I will wear a vest. When I am wearing a t-shirt anymore, I will wear, I'll still wear a flannel or a different shirt with that. Right now, I just got off work at the group home, so I'm wearing a t-shirt with a hooded sweatshirt from New Japan Pro Wrestling. I always like wearing more than one shirt because, let's face it, the more clothing I wear, the better. So I don't know if that's interesting or not, but that's kind of how I started wearing a vest.
And that's what I'm freaking on. Corey, what are you freaking on?
Oh, wow. That's the old, that's me on the hood of Butch's car.
It is. I don't throw nothing away.
That kind of frightens me. What am I freaking on? This week at the full-time job went crazy because the people in the tech department are idiots. What I do is I take calls and help people handle the calls for benefits. And one of the things that we do is every so often a company will come to us and say, we want everybody to verify that their dependents are real dependents, that they're that they're real eligible dependents. Because companies didn't do a lot of checking in the past, and then when they started doing it, they realized that between 20 and 30% of the dependents people had on their coverage were not actually eligible. It's, well, you know, they're not my kid, but, or we aren't really married, she's my live-in girlfriend, or, you know, all these different things. Or, you know, they would put people on their benefits who weren't part of the family, like a cousin or a nephew or something. Oh, yeah, I could cover them. And that was a pretty big thing to do, so companies started doing where you have to verify your dependents. Now, Joe, you've never been the one who carries the coverage for your family. Your wife has. Was there ever a time where she had to give the birth certificates and the marriage certificate to prove that you guys were legit dependents?
No, I don't believe so.
Oh. Well, I'm on three different accounts where we're doing that right now. And on one of them, we got all of their employees, and they are categorized into different areas. Audit code 1 means they need to do this. Audit code 2 means they don't need to do this. And audit code 98 means that they did this 3 months ago. Wednesday, we sent out a reminder email, and it's supposed to go to everybody in audit code 1. Well, the tech people messed up, didn't put in a number for the audit code, so everybody in the system got sent an email saying, hey, you've only got a week and a half to complete your dependent verification, including the people in audit code 98 who'd already done it 3 months ago. That went to over 1,000 people who were very upset because they thought they'd done this already. And they had. And all of a sudden, at 11:30 on Wednesday, normally for this client we get, you know, 5 to 6 calls a day. We had 100 calls in queue by noon. 100 people were waiting for us to answer the phones. That was my Wednesday. Then yesterday they said, okay, we're going to send out to just the people in audit code 1. Well, the person typing the computer program didn't hit the 1. Do you see the number right next to the 1, Joe?
I think it's a 2, isn't it?
Yes, so we sent to about 600 people who were in audit code 2 who didn't have to complete dependent verification because they don't have any dependents. Once again! It's like 5 minutes before lunch and I look and I take a call and it's like, oh no, we just sent something to audit code 2. And then I see the calls start stacking up. Boom, boom. Boom, 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 boom. My computer makes a little ping noise every time a call's waiting in queue. Ping, 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 ping. 5 minutes later, I'm going to lunch!
All right, I do have a negative.
So that was my freaking.
There is a report just posted that by the time this here podcast drops, Toys R Us may be out of business already.
Didn't we talk about that?
No, we didn't realize it was going that freaking fast.
Oh.
I mean, you're talking the story that they were going bankrupt just popped up a few days ago.
Yeah, that was earlier this week.
Yeah. Well, we're talking by the time this podcast drops.
But it's collapsing that fast.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Are they going to just close, we're out of here, goodbye, or will they liquidate and try to get rid of what they have? My guess would be, because they're in bankruptcy, they'll probably just shutter the stores and let the bankruptcy judge figure out what they're going to do.
Well, they'll probably, anything that can be returned will, and anything that can't be returned will show up at those places. You know, like Ollie's. I had never heard of Ollie's before DC did their warehouse dump there, but I guess that's a place where companies just dump their inventory. And they wholesale it out. Too bad we don't have one anywhere near us, because people are putting up their pictures of those, and it's like, aww. But Zeke Chong bought me a few, so I got some of the bounty of that.
Cool.
Not as cool as when Marvel and DC did their omnibus dump. But cool as the omnibus dump. Geeking, Joe, what are you geeking on?
Let's see. I've been talking about the comics I read, and there's always a big pile. I did read The Amazing Spider-Man. Not only did I read 9 I'm sorry, 795, where Loki decides, because now that he's Sorcerer Supreme, he has to return a favor that he did for Spider-Man a long time ago, because apparently it's not good to be in debt to anybody.
But and that was funny. That was a funny story.
It was a good issue. It was interesting because they referred to the fact that he's a still the spider totem. So, man, all that stuff that Michael's, or what's his name, did still exists. Yep, it's just not in the foreground of anything. It was an interesting issue. It has its own tweaks, and of course it led into the first appearance of the Red Goblin, which I'm not sure if it occurred 975 or 976, because it's like the final panel of 975. I'm sorry, 795. See, I'm so excited I'm flipping the numbers, but they'll get there soon enough. So both issues were good. Threat Level Red is the storyline, and it'll be going through. The last issue of Punisher, the Platoon, came out, which was absolutely brilliant. It'd be fun if they could revisit the pre-Punisher, not freaky Frank Castle days. And if this sold well, they just might be doing that. Speaking of Sorcerer Supreme, I grabbed me my Doctor Strange, and the I did notice I was reading when I visited at source I read through the Thor's, just try to figure out what was going on there, and I think I'll probably wait and pick that up in book form. But Loki was they mentioned he was Sorcerer Supreme there, and 385 deals with the finality of that, and apparently a character who was thought to be dead is not dead, and is. And they do something that's interesting with the foreshadowing, because when they finally do the confrontation with Loki, they're like, why did you do all this? Well, you know, you're not ready, because you're not ready for the War of the Realms, Hell on Earth, Damnation, the Gathering of the Infinity Stones, the Final Host, which are all storylines coming up that I think Doctor Strange is involved in. So, Infinity War too, but that's a different continuity. And of course, it goes right into Damnation. And the interesting thing is, they have a mini series that goes along with it, and the Doctor Strange book and the mini series kind of go side by side concurrently, which makes it fun to read. So that definitely pick up. And the last thing I read were the catch up volumes issues of Avengers No Surrender, which I am enjoying the bejesus out of. And it's a shame they're going to start over with a number one, but, you know, that's just the way the ball rolls. Hopefully we're going to have a fun time on the way out. I did it again, Corey. I lied. I lied to you. I did watch
a TV show. Why are you always lying to me?
Well, because you don't share your pie, and it's hurtful. But what isn't hurtful is on Netflix they have a show called The Toys That Made Us.
Yes, I did watch that as well this week.
I watched the first one with the Star Wars toys, which was just phenomenal, because not only does it bring back – I mean, I was 12 years old when this stuff came out. So, and I remember they talk about how, you know, the G.I. Joes were 12-inch toys, and now how are they doing it? They're doing a little tiny 3 3/4 inches. And it's funny because the guy running Kenner at the time, he was like, how are we going to do this? And apparently he was a big barrel of a man that people didn't mess with. And he just kind of spread his fingers. Measure that. 3 3/4. That's how big the figures are, which allowed him to make Millennium Falcons and things like that. It's a fun show. If you have any nostalgia for it, it's just amazing. A lot of it lives through not only me as a kid collecting, but me, kid playing, into collecting, into having a comic store. You know, when the Star Wars toys came out, you know, we were like, this is brilliant. And they even talk about the feeding frenzy before the toys came out of Phantom Menace. And I remember being in line at midnight to get into Toys R Us, and I'm picking up a set of things, and people, you know, did you get this? I mean, we had a pretty cool store that we were at, because people were like, hey, did you guys all get these? And oh, what's this Jar Jar? Jar Jar. Such high hopes we had. This was all before the movie hit. So it was just a fun show. They have Barbies, which I'll watch. And then, of course, they have the one on G.I. Joe, He-Man.
The one on Barbie was excellent. The one on He-Man really kind of explained to me why I always hated He-Man.
You know, and that was something too. You know, we were talking Transformers back when we had the mega show with Dan and Adam. And I haven't seen the He-Man one, but I do remember, you know, I never really liked He-Man because you get to the end of it and it was like, here's the lesson you had today. I'm like, oh, Jesus. But the one thing I liked Transformers versus like any of the other ones is that the first Transformers show I watched was the typical, you know, the bad guy had the good guys tied up, even though they're robots and I have no idea what the hell they were tying them up with. And anyways, I didn't realize who the leader was, but they said, oh, look, it's Optimus Prime. And he come flying down out of nowhere. And when he landed, he basically just blasted every single bad guy without saying a freaking word. There was no, I'm going to stop you now. How dare you tie up my friends? You will be defeated. But it was just land with a thoom. Bam, 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 bam. And he's like, God, we're going to defeat, run away, run away. And I was like, wow, there is something to this because it was actually a lot of fun. And of course, you've talked in the past about how when the movie came out, how it freaked all the little boys and girls out because it killed off so many of the original Transformers. And they never did that again in any other movie. As a matter of fact, Prime got better. So they don't have one on Transformers yet. And the Transformer history is actually real interesting because the Hasbro Japanese company bought the molds from a lot of other toys in order to make their Transformer lines, which is why if you ever were at Radio Shack, you saw what you would assume was like a Shockwave knockoff, but it wasn't. It was just a toy gun that transformed. Well, they bought that mold and made it into a Transformer character. Jetfire was a I can't think of the line. That'll come to me. But, you know, they basically bought all these different molds and then eventually had to make their own. The GI, I know with Barbie, I think it was Sears originally did not buy into the Barbie line, which was really stupid because it ended up being one of the best-selling toys out. And they were also, you know, back then it was the Sears catalog. That was like one of the big toy movers of the season. Ah, the mighty wolf have fallen. So I did watch the one show. I may watch the other one later today, another one. So that was kind of fun. I keep mentioning graphic novels. I mentioned Adam, and I mentioned the fact I need bookcases. Well, Adam actually put up on his Facebook page that since he's making his final push to move down into Iowa, he was selling a bunch of bookcases, about 8 of them for $110, which is a really good deal for bookcases. So I emailed him while I was at work, and I said, I'm interested. I'll buy them. And after clearing it with she who must be obeyed, I'm going to get the bookcases Monday, and then I'm going to start getting – I mean, if you could see my room now, I have piles of graphic novels next to the piles of comics. And the reason why is because I don't have any room downstairs to move these graphic novels and sort them out to figure out – like, you know, when Fangraphics came out with the Peanuts hardcover books. Not that I'm angry, but the source kind of bobbled my order, and I never did get the complete run. So I've got to figure out which ones I'm missing. I think they did a large Popeye book, too, that reprinted the Popeye strips. I'm missing 2 out of the 5, and I got to get these all together and figure out which ones. I still haven't figured out which essentials I'm missing. But with these bookcases, I'll be able to line them up. I'll be able to replace the one bookcase that collapsed under the weight, the tremendous weight of all the books that were on top of it. That was the aforementioned kitchen sink Little Abner series that never finished. And hopefully get my graphic novels in some semblance of order so I can figure out exactly what I do have. You know, you'd think I would get my collection in order one of these years. Or I'll just sell it on eBay, one of the two.
You'll sell it on eBay.
Anyway, I'm going to buy the bookcases on see Adam on Monday. Also, check out his
page. You guys going to get some pizza?
I don't know. It depends on if we got time.
Well, you better.
But we also have he's also selling off other bits of his collection he doesn't want to drag with him to Iowa. So go to – if he hasn't gotten rid of it all by now, go to his Facebook page and see what kind of goodies he's got for you people. Corey, what you geeking on?
The first thing that I am geeking on is kind of weird, but I had like a half hour last night of free time. I know.
Slacker.
I know. So I'm flipping around on the Roku, and one of the things I have is the Mill Creek Entertainment, which is a channel, and basically you could buy like packs of movies, and I've bought a couple of their 50 movie packs, a bunch of old noir stuff that's fallen into public domain, a bunch of cult stuff that's fallen into public domain, and they have the entire run of Archie's Weird Mysteries.
Ooh.
A Saturday morning cartoon that I had never seen. So I watched an episode of it, and it was kind of goofy and kind of weird. And then I'm looking at the credits, and it's like, oh, look, Bobby London worked on that. And I'm going, all these comic artists worked on this show. Like, oh, huh. Bobby London, who did Dirty Duck in both Playboy and National Lampoon, was one of the Air Pirates, did the Popeye comic strip that got him kicked off Popeye.
Beautiful.
I should tell you that story someday, because I remember that was a big deal. He was doing a Popeye story, and it was a allegory for abortion, and it got him fired. And all I could think is, wouldn't they have just not said okay when he started working on it? Comic-wise, Box Day Case.
Yeah.
That's a not a lot of time for that. And if you watch that, The Toys That Made Us, which I watched a few weeks ago, I guess four more episodes are coming out soon. But you know how if you watch something, they give you a suggestion?
Mm-hmm.
They gave me a suggestion of a documentary about Atari. And the gist of the documentary is they finally got the rights to dig up that landfill that supposedly millions of ET cartridges were buried in. And I am not going to spoil it, but it was probably one of the better documentaries I've seen about video games. They interview the guy who programmed the ET cartridge. They interview the person who was in charge of Atari at the time. They interview Norman Bushnell, and a bunch of other people, and intersperse it with how they got permission to dig up the landfill, the fact that they had to bring in archaeologists. Not joking. They had to bring in archaeologists to dig in this landfill to see if the urban legend was true, and there was a landfill in Arizona where they buried millions of ET cartridges. And they talk about the, you know, how video games collapsed, and the we forget that Warner Brothers bought Atari, and then when everything collapsed, they sold it off. But you could tell that Warner Brothers owned Atari because they had Atari Force, the comic at DC. George Perez drew all the inserts for the Sword Quest and Earth Quest and Water Quest video games. So it's a really fascinating documentary if you're into video games at all. And comic-wise, I read the comic I talked about earlier in the show, so it kind of jumped in on, didn't it?
Yeah, you hogged the whole podcast with that comic. You gotta be very disappointed.
Well, believe it or not, kids, you've listened to us blather on about funny books for an hour and a half. And as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most. And Joe, I just mm-hmm. want to let you know, you're not the only one who gets a closing line.
Oh?
I don't know why people don't dress up anymore. Even when I go out for ice cream, I wear my Sunday best.
Screw you, Strode!
Psychological fact. When a person cries and the first drop of tears comes from the right eye, it's from happiness. But if the first rolls off his cheek from the left side, it's in pain. If you cry from both eyes at the same time, you probably stepped on a Lego. Hit my music.
Funk is on a roll. Funk is on a roll. Hey, yo. Funk is on a roll. Can somebody- we done, bitches!